You know, to be honest, I was minding my own business at breakfast with my pastor and three or four other guys on a Friday. And this particular Friday, our mayor walks in. And so he came over and said, hey, Dave Wilkins announced his retirement. He said, well, you ought to run for that. Joe, I've got too many other things. So I just thought, I got plenty on my plate. I don't need to even be thinking about this.
This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is Indiana State Representative Craig Snow. But a long time ago, he was also a part of our School of Business, receiving a bachelor's degree in business administration from Grace. He is also the CEO of Cedar Holdings, along with representing our district, District 22. And he has been in the Indiana House of Representatives since 2020, and so thankful for his service to our community and to Grace. Representative Snow, thanks for being on the podcast.
No, thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Let's go back a few years. you can decide if you want to say how many. Just talk a little bit about growing up in this area, and then like why and how did you get to Grace College?
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, again, thanks for the opportunity to talk with you. Man, we are going back a number of years, actually a few decades in a sense. But I moved to Winona Lake when I was in eighth grade. So we moved from Northwest Missouri, and we actually showed up in two grain trucks and moved on to a house that we rented on Robson Road. And so Grace College was, in a sense, our backyard, so we could walk right through the woods and be on the campus. At the time, my mother and father both, my father was going to seminary. Hmm. He was attending Grace Theological Seminary at the time. And my mother, Diane, was working for Dr. Charles Smith, and then, you know, worked with a number of the other professors and, the dean of students and Ron Klingerman, I think it was.
Yep.
And a few others. And so we've been part of the Grace family, it seems like, ever since we got here. And even at eighth grade, I felt a part of it in a sense. We'd always go to mom's office, or dad at one point was the director of the facilities and the grounds here.
Oh, wow.
And so we would get into the tunnels. Not sure if the students know where those are, but
they still exist.
Yeah,
some of them.
Yeah, we got in trouble in the tunnel before, and you know, we'd be all over this campus. So as kids, it was, you know, that was kind of part of our upbringing in a sense, was Grace. And so my senior year in high school, I went to Warsaw Community Schools. I graduated from there in '87, and my senior year, I was in a co-op program and was working at Zimmer at the time as a draftsman. And so I, you know, didn't really enjoy school very much. And when they said, hey, you could come to school half a day and work the other half, I jumped at it, didn't even question it. And so when I graduated from high school, the lady in HR asked me if I wanted to stick around and what my plans were after school. And I said, well, I have no plans to go to college. Really, I'd love to just work. And so that led into a discussion with my soon-to-be boss, and his question was, where are you going to college? You're going to go to Grace? And I said, well, I am not planning to go to college. He said, well, if you're going to work here, you're going to college. So I applied at Grace, and Denny Brown at the time, he was, I believe, the dean, and he sent me a postcard that said, you know, I think we'll take a chance on you, so we'll accept you into Grace College. And my, you know, GPA, we won't go into that, but I was working full-time at Zimmer, and that was second shift. I took a full load here at Grace, and my GPA, it kind of reflected that.
But, yes, sure.
So anyway, I started out with a computer science major, switched that to a business major once I figured that computer science was more about programming back then, and I didn't enjoy that as much. So Professor Gordon was the business guy here, and I really enjoyed his classes. I graduated. It took me about 4.5 years to do it. I took all the Winterham. I don't even know if you offer Winterham classes.
We don't anymore, okay. But yes.
And then all the summer courses I could take, and one of those was water skiing with Professor Gordon, which was awesome. And It's funny, I couldn't tell you the other business classes I had, but water skiing was definitely one of them.
That one's memorable.
Yeah. So, you know, had a great time there. Probably the best thing about Grace College for me was is where I met Sherry, you know, my wife now. So we've been married 30, going on 36 years this summer, and it's been wonderful.
And she was elementary education, right?
Yep, she was L-Ed, and she was, you know, with Professor Bullinger and that crew. But she, the interesting story was she was the mail lady. So at Philathea, I don't think the mailboxes are there anymore, but that's where the mailboxes were. And so she would deliver all the mail. And so I kind of took notice, and but only after one of her friends suggested I ask her out. And at the time, I didn't realize this, but she would follow me in the mail jeep as I would go back and forth trying to figure out where I worked. And at least that's the story she tells. But anyway, yeah, we were introduced by some mutual friends here at the school, and went to a cookout over on Center or Pike Lake or something like that. And I said, hey, you want to go out on a date? And so, you know, the rest is kind of history. Once we got to a point where I was brave enough to ask her to marry me, we ended up ringing the bell when we got back, but I took her to Chicago. And I think I'm pretty sure it was a spreadsheet that I put together and said, we could save some money here if we would just get married. You don't have to pay room and board. I don't have to pay room and board. You know, all those ideas that I had in my head.
That explains a lot, actually.
Yeah, it does. So, you know, one of Prof. Gordon's classes probably helped me with that. But anyway, she said yes, and the rest is history. We have three grown adult children. Tyler, he's married to Rachel. Rachel is actually a niece of Bill Kadip.
Yeah.
And so they've been married a number of years now. I have two boys, Beckett and Briggs, our grandsons, and they're so much fun. And they live here in Winona Lake. Tyler is the director of disaster relief for World Compassion Network. And then I have two daughters, Kayla and Chloe. And Kayla's here in Winona Lake as well. She works at Risk Strategies, which is Sylvia's Insurance Group partner. And then Chloe, our youngest, just graduated from University of Indianapolis with her doctorate in physical therapy. And so she just graduated this month. And so we're looking forward to seeing what her career looks
that's
like
awesome.
Going forward. So that's the family life, if you will.
So then after graduation, you know, you and I know this is going to feed into some of the things that you've accomplished even at the State House, but you started a career in orthopedics, right? And
right.
I worked. Tell us a little bit about that and like your passion for orthopedics being developed.
Yeah. So, like I said, in my senior year in high school, I started at Zimmer as a draftman, mechanical drafting. And then that summer, I trained in the computer room. A couple of guys trained me because I was going to second shift. And so I basically was serving everybody in the engineering shop floor and the CAD-CAM draftman. And so it was really cool because you basically got to look at all the parts, got to feel the parts because you would, you know, hook up the machines on the shop floor to the, back then it was called the intranet, all the files that the guys in the CNC programming room would basically program the milling machines on how to cut out a part. And today it's called 3D printing.
Sure.
But back then it was 3D printing was with a tool cutting titanium, you know, and they still do some of that. But so that was where I kind of got my start. I worked at Zimmer probably close to 10 years and then went to a company called Beringer Mannheim. It was down in Indianapolis for about 18 months. And at the time, they owned DePue here in town. And so my boss asked if I would like to move to Warsaw, Indiana. And I said, absolutely. So we moved back and was at DePue for a number of years, maybe, I don't know, a dozen years or so. Johnson & Johnson bought them in 98 and it was there for a number of years. So orthopedics was an incredible industry. It still is in this community. It's still thriving, I would say. We are trying to market it very well through OrthoWorks, of course. But it's really where I got my start, and I'll be forever grateful for that industry. And then one year, Scott Silvius, a good friend of mine, we were in Sunday school class together, and he said, "Hey, have you ever thought about doing sales?" And I said, "No, that's one thing I've never done." But he convinced me to come over and try my hand at selling crop insurance. And so I tried it. By the numbers, I did pretty well for the 2 years that I was in it. I just didn't enjoy it at all. You know, getting up in the morning and driving to a farmer's house to try to sell him something just evidently is not my cup of tea. So I looked to go back to the orthopedic industry, had an interview at Biomet. They had an offer, and somehow Scott found out, and he basically went to his father and Steve, and he and I talked, and they convinced me to stay at Silvius and help them run the company. So from that perspective, pretty much the rest is history there. I was there, I've been there about 19 years.
Wow.
And last May, a year ago, we ended up selling that division of our company off. And today we have basically the investments, and then Winona IT. It's a software development company and
we're a big
help desk.
Client of.
Yeah, that's right.
We use them for all of our help desk. And,
yeah. Yep. So they have really done a great job, and they're very service-minded people, which is really what it requires. And they do a great job at that. They represent us well.
Just yesterday, I think we had Don Fluke, who's retiring from Grace in IT, and a bunch of the guys from Winona IT. They all came over because they work with us.
Right.
We had everybody raise their hand if they worked in IT at Grace. I mean, it was probably half the company.
Oh wow!
At some point, it was like a student worker in OIT here at Grace. It was really cool to see.
That's funny. You bring up Don Fluke. I remember when I was at Grace, he was here.
Yeah.
So he's been here a long time. We've been incredibly blessed with our companies, and we're through the transition period on the main company, and now it's just kind of settling into what is the new, the rest of it look like under Cedar Holdings.
And so somewhere in there, you decided maybe I'll become a politician.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly like that.
And you had done a little bit of this and a little bit of that with Winona Lake Town Council and those kind of things. But what made you decide that you felt the Lord calling you into public service through being a state representative?
Yeah, it was, to be honest, I was minding my own business at breakfast with my pastor and three or four other guys. We get together every once in a while on a Friday, go to the diner downtown on the square and just kind of catch up with each other and offer prayer requests and pray for one another. And this particular Friday, our mayor walks in, and he usually eats there on Friday mornings. And so he came over and said, "Hey, Dave Wilkins," he's my predecessor, "but Dave Wilkins announced his retirement." And I said, "Oh, okay, that's great." He said, "Well, you ought to run for that." And I honestly, I didn't really understand what Dave did. And I just said, "Joe, I've got too many other things." We had the business going. We were working pretty hard on that. And I was on 8 different boards at the time, including our church, chairman of our elder board, a number of things in the community. And so I just thought, I got plenty on my plate. I don't need to even be thinking about this. And didn't even think about it. A couple of weeks went by, and a gentleman had put his name in the hat. And so we talked, and I wished him well, that kind of thing. And about a week after that, he took his name out of the hat. And so then I started getting phone calls. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is. What do you do? So I called Dave Wilkins, talked to him a couple times, and still wasn't convinced. But I got a call from the Speaker of the House, Todd Houston, and he basically sincerely asked me to consider running. And so I talked to, obviously, Sherry and then business partners and some others, and kind of, I don't know what it was, like maybe the Lord nudging, but it's kind of like, well, okay, I've got support from Sherry and my partners, and yeah, look, give it a shot. So, I jumped in.
You've done a great job. I think one of the things I appreciate is your relational humility, ability to work with people across the aisle, work with people you agree with, work with people you don't agree with. But a couple things I wanted to hit on is, one, you know, education has been something you have been an advocate for. You're on the board of the Independent Colleges of Indiana as well. We have, along with all of us college presidents, we have representatives who and senators who are a part of that board. So I want to talk about that and then talk a little bit about more recently the Orthopedic Innovation Research Initiative. But tell me why. Why be a part of ICI? Why education and higher education in particular? You've been a strong advocate and a strong advocate for private education in particular.
Well, I obviously, being a product of Grace College, and is one of those things that's always been near to my heart in terms of, I like the private education, specifically at Grace. I'm not speaking for the other 28 schools out there, but within, for Grace, I love the fact that you keep the aspect of Christ front and center, and you're basically building that into kids, the characteristics of those kids, the integrity, and you know, hopefully that'll carry into their business life, their careers, and their family life as well. And so the things I've learned over the years is, and recognize that that's everything. It's your integrity, your character is what is who you are. And hopefully, I know what Grace's intent is so that our graduates from Grace will reflect Christ. And well, to know him and make him known,
that's right?
So that's your tagline. So, and then from the state perspective, I've kind of come to learn that the business of the state of Indiana is to build widgets. And those widgets are taxpayers. Let's be honest, that's what we're all about. And the best way to get a Indiana taxpayer is to bring them up through our educational system. And so the investment that we make as a state is really looking at it from a standpoint of, what is our ROI on that? And so you want to invest in the areas where you're going to produce an Indiana resident that pays taxes at the end of the day. And I think we have the greatest opportunity of doing that if you put them in a local Indiana private school. And I think the numbers would show that that's true.
Yes.
IU and Purdue, the other schools, I don't take anything away from them. They're great schools, but they also cater to the world. And so you get a lot of people from all over coming, and they pay tuition. That's great. But at the end of the day, they tend to leave. They don't stay in Indiana. The next argument is, okay, how much are these graduates making? And so you look at their salaries, because obviously the more you make, the more you pay, you know, that kind of thing. And so we want to maintain those higher paying, you know, jobs if we can. But we also need, Ivy Tech's a great example of a public school that produces a lot of graduates, and we need that. So we need the whole spectrum. But I think the private schools produce those, I would say, graduates that tend to stay in Indiana and work and live. And so that's really, from my perspective, why I'm agreeing to stay on the ICA board. I want to support you guys. Obviously, this budget session, we tried to do a lot of things. Didn't quite get across the finish line for a number of reasons, but that's where I'm kind of passionate about it, trying to figure out how do we make sure that we got a good return on our investment.
Another thing that you have been so advocating for is, and both from Grace College and our community, is collaboration. And, from a Grace perspective, you were significant in us putting together the Catalyst Corridor grant, the $27 million we received from Lilly Endowment. And what made a lot of that possible was the community and you and others specifically saying, like, hey, go big, do this. We'll come along and support you. Mm-hmm. And that has proven true. And certainly the Orthopedic Innovation Research Initiative is a part of that. And the ways we are able to collaborate with these pools of funds now to make a difference for students on our campus and for our community. So talk about a little bit, what is the Orthopedic Innovation Research Initiative? What are you hoping to accomplish? And how's Grace a part of that?
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty long story, but it basically started with an invite to the governor's office. He called me in and asked to talk about some things, and one of them was I was on a redevelopment authority board a few years ago, and that was a test when in the Pence administration when they basically put out $42 million in three different regions in our state. And the Northeast Indiana region got $42 million, of which I was on the board to help kind of approve or disapprove the applications and within the communities to use that money. And really what it was about was trying to get the private sector to come along and put more money into that initial investment the state made. And so he was asking what my experience was. And I said, well, I think it's been a great experience. And we turned $42 million into $264 million at the time. So, you know, that return was just amazing. And I would say at that time, maybe a dozen years or so. So not a bad return. I said, if it was me, that if that's what the state does, and again, this is the first year I was in session, I wasn't really sure what in the world the state did and all
still
that.
Looking for the bathrooms.
Yeah,
and all that
I was trying to
stuff,
figure out light switches, where they are, and all that stuff. But I said I would encourage the state to continue to do that. And so he got excited, ran into his other room, brought this huge map of Indiana out, had all these circles across the map, and basically. What it did were the 10 circles, and every circle had the number 50 in it. And he said, what we want to do is take that original concept that the Pence administration had and then blanket the entire state with it. So every one of these regions would have $50 million. And we want to start that by way of an investment. And that's what we know as today is Ready, or Ready 1.0. And so we approved in the 21 budget year $500 million for that program. And, you know, I believe it'll prove to be as good as what we did with the original regional cities money. But we took that time I had with him, and I basically said, look, if you really want to make an investment, I think it's really important to invest in businesses that have currently been here for all these years. They took the risk to be here, and they didn't get any incentive whatsoever. And so I shared with him the area that I came from in North Central Indiana, Warsaw, Kosciuszko County, but more importantly, is it's the orthopedic capital of the world. And I shared with him my story. I worked there for 20 years, and back then, those companies were investing heavily into this community. As you know, time went on and people moved on, people passed away. Some of the funding kind of dried up a little bit. In fact, at the time, one of our larger companies, the CEO and his C-suites, they moved the headquarters from Warsaw to the East Coast. And so I said, the problem, or the concern, rather, I have is you've got a group of folks sitting out in a boardroom on the East Coast making decisions for Kosciuszko County. And more importantly, from that perspective, the state. I mean, you've got an industry here that's, we have $60 billion in the orthopedic industry worldwide. Depending on how you calculate everything, you could say $30 million of it Warsaw is responsible for. And so I told him, I said, if you don't make this investment, I'm afraid that they're going to make a boardroom decision, you know, many states away and just pull the company away. And after I shared that with him, he kind of looked at me and said, well, what would you recommend? So I said, well, why don't you write me a check for $250 million and let me prove it to you. I didn't get that check, but we had a great discussion. I talked to the Secretary of Commerce after that, or Senator Mishler, and at the time, Doc Brown, he was our chairman of Ways and Means, as well as a speaker. And I just said, you know, here's a concern I have. We are investing in great areas, but we're not investing in companies that have really built a lot of livelihoods here. In this case, the orthopedic industry was 125 years plus. 125 plus years old. So that led into a lot of discussions. Fast forward to the budget year 23, we were able to get $30 million for what we're calling ORI, the Orthopedic Initiative. And while it wasn't 250, I'll take it. It was $30 million. And knowing all of that and knowing that at the same time the Lilly Endowment had put out to the universities a way in which you could get some grant money, the CCC. And that mm-hmm. and that was when I remember you came into my office, and I kind of knew a few things that was going on behind the scenes with the money I had requested. And the projects you had showed me were great. But like you said, I kind of think I told you maybe think bigger, be bolder, because I think there's a lot of potential, let's just say, synergistic thing coming. And that tended to happen. So, you know, with our $30 million, your guys' $27 million, we can really make a splash in North Central Indiana. And we're already doing that. Lots of community people have come together for a few years now, mm-hmm. Meeting every week, lots of great discussion. My intent with the $30 million is to get out to the broader community within the county. I really want to focus in the ag world as well, because, you know, I tell people all the time is there's an industry that's been here longer than orthopedics, and that's agriculture. And so it's very important that we cater to that that industry as well. So we're working on some things. We'd like to create something called AgriWorks to kind of mimic what OrthoWorks did. And working with Plug and Play on that, as well as some businesses that are currently here in the ag space. But we want to take some of that money and try to get some of these towns in our county to get some of the projects they wanted across the finish line as well. And that $30 million is meant to enhance quality of life. So working on projects that are going to really cater to people who are coming here and kind of show who we are and, you know, maybe get them in an area where they probably wouldn't have gone before. So in other words, I talked to some realtors and said, when a prospect comes in for an interview, what road do you avoid? And, they told me there's a few of them. And so we're working on those corridors to try to enhance them and make them better. But I still contend we have an incredible area. I'm very proud of Kosciuszko. I get to represent that area, and down at the State House, I feel like I've got the best district there is. So I love it here.
And we are so thankful, Grace, that we get to continue what I think's been a long legacy. Certainly my predecessors, you know, even the starting of OrthoWorks with Dr. Manahan, and mm-hmm. just seeing some of that come to fruition and culmination in what's happening now. And if people want to learn more, All In Kosciuszko, mm-hmm. if you just Google that, we've sort of taken the projects that are Grace related, that are community related for our whole county, and sort of said, hey, this is going to be a gathering place where we sort of talk about all the things going on and share about the ways that we're collaborating. And interesting for Grace, because we're also grant makers now. Like mm-hmm. we're approving grants that go to projects in the community that aren't necessarily for us or our students. And then there are grants coming to us mm-hmm. Through ORI and other places for projects that are both for our students and the community. So it's a really neat and would not have happened if you and a few others hadn't gotten together and said, hey, how do we kind of take our own hats off and figure out what's best for our community? And what has been so neat about that is, you know, often those meetings start with prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is certainly a greater purpose that most of us are aiming for beyond just making this a better place. We have an eternal purpose in mind as well. And I know you do in your service. And I also wanted to thank you. Some of our students were down maybe a month ago or so. Yeah. And they said, okay, we got the best treatment of any student group on this whole thing, because Representative Snow took care of us and showed us all that. So thank you for our students a wonderful experience.
Oh, that was fun. I enjoyed taking them around and talking to them, answering their questions. So I always enjoy that when people come down. So it's really neat.
There you go. If you want to come visit the State House, you now know a guy. So thank you for the ways that you've stayed connected to Grace, that you've supported Grace, that you've represented mm-hmm. Grace, and more importantly, the ways that you represented our Lord.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening to the Grace Story podcast. Thanks to our marketing team for their work in producing. Please like, comment, subscribe, share it with others so that they can learn what's going on at Grace. And if you have questions, comments you'd like to share, feel free to send those to podcast@grace.edu. Until next time, live your best Grace story today.